Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. We turn now to music, and my next guest is an acclaimed singer and a Grammy-nominated artist who has just released her ninth studio album, a beautifully spun jazz tunes, all wonderfully fronted by her dazzling voice. Jane Monheit will be performing at the Avalon Theater in Easton, Maryland on Saturday, October 12th, and she joins me now to talk about that new album, The Heart of the Matter. Jane, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So you've been touring the world for more than a decade now, and as I mentioned, this is your ninth record. But I read in an interview where you said, "Everything I'm singing now is a reflection of my truest self, and this is a time to just be me with complete and utter freedom." Elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, you know, when you start out in this business, I think especially as a young woman, because I was 20 when it all started cranking, you know, There's a lot of pressure on you to act a certain way, especially to look a certain way, and you know, to make certain artistic choices. Although I actually, it's like that's the one thing I didn't really give into. I sort of always did what I wanted as an artist, but for the most part. But, you know, it's like this intense pressure around you all the time, teams of people telling you who they think you should be. And when you're young and green and you really want to be able to be successful, you know, you cave to some of that pressure. And now it's like I'm pushing 36. I've been doing this for a very long time. And especially now as a mother, I'm just like, whatever, I'm me. Everybody better like it, you know, kind of thing like that. And the people that I work with are very supportive of who I am and would never want me to change. It's a good sign, you know.
So this record has all the elements of what your fans have come to adore about your artistry. Really interesting interpretations of jazz standards and songs from the Great American Songbook. But one of the tracks that really struck me was your interpretation of something from the Beatles playbook, the Lennon and McCartney song Golden Slumbers from Abbey Road. And that kind of goes into The Long and Winding Road from Let It Be. Let's listen to that for a second. Jane, it seems one of the threads I hear in all of the selections you chose for this record is this sense of tremendously moving lyrics. Was that the goal for this record?
Yeah, all the songs were chosen for their lyrics. You know, lyrical interpretation has become one of the main focuses of the way I like to sing, especially in the last few years. I've been teaching a lot, and I realize that that's what I'm focusing on with students. And so I wanted to make an album that reflected that, and it ended up that I chose a lot of ballads and Brazilian music because that's always where I tend to lean when I'm interpreting the lyric. The swingers and stuff, the more up-tempo things tend to be more fun.
Mm-hmm.
The lyrics aren't generally taken as seriously in a tune like that, for me anyway. They're usually light love songs, things like that. It's usually a happy message, not too much to dig into. So the lyric album ended up being kind of a ballad album as well. But the Beatles thing was interesting because I've really always wanted to do a Beatles cover. I've loved the Beatles since I was a kid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Who hasn't? And I really wanted to wait until it was the right thing. People do Beatles covers nonstop. They do them every 5 minutes without even thinking too hard about it. And for me, these songs are very important. They're very special pieces of music, and I wanted to get it right. And my husband, who plays drums with me, actually had the idea to medley those two together, and I just thought it was perfect. And so it was time. It was finally time. And then once Gil Goldstein added his arrangement, it became just perfect, you know. Yeah. I think that was maybe the first take on the record.
Wow, it turned out fantastic. You've said that motherhood has changed you, and obviously becoming a parent changes your entire life, both as an artist or just as a regular person on the street. But I happened to read that article on the same day as I got your new record, and I was listening to it in my kitchen as we were making dinner. And this song came on, and it's a Randy Newman piece. It's called When She Loved Me.
Somebody loved me. Everything was beautiful. Every hour we spent together lives within my heart. When she
The interesting thing was my daughter, who's 5, came running into the kitchen and she said, "Dad, that's from Toy Story." And I just kind of chuckled to myself and I thought, you know, I wonder if you would have put a song like that that has such a connection to a kid's film, even though it's a beautiful song in its own right, you know, if you would have chosen that particular tune on a record that you did before becoming a mother.
You know, I totally would have. That's the thing, is I totally would have, because I am a sucker for children's songs and always have been. I love them. They're beautiful. And there's something very special about a piece of music that can appeal to any age of person. A lyrical message that anyone can understand. I mean, the song was written to be sung from a doll, you know, to the little girl who no longer wants to play with her. But it can be interpreted in many ways. Abandonment from a mother or a sister or a loved one of any kind. There are a million ways to look at that lyric. And I wanted to sort of keep that open so anyone who listens to it can find their own message inside it. It doesn't have to be that doll and a child message.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, Randy Newman is one of our great American songwriters.
Absolutely.
You know, it was definitely about time to do one of his songs. And I'll never forget, I saw that movie in the theater when it came out because I had a gig in a mall. And there were hours after sound check, and I was there with the piano player. And now at that point, I was way too cool to, you know, go to a Disney movie. I was 21. I was just super cool. I was a senior in college or something like that. You know what I mean? But we needed a place to take a nap. So we went to the theater and bought movie tickets and sat in Toy Story 2 and took a nap. But I snapped awake when Sarah McLachlan started singing that song.
Yeah.
Because it was so beautiful. And I'm also like a huge, huge fan of hers, Sarah McLachlan. She's one of my favorite singers. And I snapped awake. And I've never forgotten that song ever since. And I've always wanted to do something with it.
Yeah, it's a great story, and it's interesting how songs end up being a part of a certain particular project. You know, over the course of your career, song choice is certainly, you know, a huge part of putting an album together. And
absolutely.
This is the first record where you've actually put in one of your own songs. But before we talk about your own original composition that you put on this record, let's talk about how you choose songs to be a part of each particular record.
Well, you know, I don't generally spend too much time seeking them out.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to let them find me because usually then they're more meant. You know, it'll be the kind of thing where I'll have like a list going in my iPhone for like years, you know, and where I'll think of something like, oh man, that would be perfect for me. How come I never realized that before? And I'll add it to the list. And then when record time comes, I'll get the list out and they'll say, all right, no way for this. Save this for a future project. That's perfect. And then generally the producer will have ideas as well. And when I worked with Gil, he had a lot of ideas for this record.
Yeah.
And they were all songs that I already knew and loved. And it was like, of course, that's perfect. How come I didn't think of that sort of thing? You know, it was really cool.
Well, I mentioned before the fact that this record is the first record which you've written one of the songs that are on the record. And this song, it's a beautifully lush tune. It's called Night, Night Stars. Let's play it here for a second.
Has weight you are, still small enough for mama's arms. Your little voice from the back of the car saying, night, night stars. How long can we have together until time winds away? Is done. Hold on to my heart forever, no matter how far and how fast time has spun.
This song sounds to me like a lullaby. Is this a lullaby to your son?
Well, sort of. I've never sang it to him as a lullaby, maybe once or twice. I can't generally sing him to sleep. He likes music too much.
Right.
It excites him. I have to read him to sleep. But I wrote the song about something my son said. He actually, the title of something he said, he was 2 years old, and we live in upstate New York part-time, and the nights get very dark here. I grew up in Long Island and then moved to New York City. So when I moved up here, I couldn't believe how different the night sky looks.
Mm-hmm.
You can really see thousands of stars. And so we were driving in the car late at night. We thought our son was asleep in the back and it was all silent in the car. And we just heard his little voice saying, "Night, night, star." And it just, you know, broke a mother's heart. And I had to write a song about it.
You've had such an amazing career and you've been all over the world and you've played in every sort of, you know, opera house and large venue, small venue, and you've created a body of work that has really been acclaimed. But did it scare you when you sat down and not only you wrote that song, but you decided to put that original song on this record? Because that was a first for you.
It totally freaked me out. I mean, I've done a lot of songwriting in the past, but I hadn't released anything. I've published and I've had some lyrics of mine recorded,
mm-hmm.
but never a whole song. And so, yeah, it was a little freaky just for a minute. But, you know, when you're a parent, like nothing else seems like that big of a deal anymore.
Very true.
You know what I mean? It's just, okay, well, I'm in charge of making sure that this human being can function on the planet by himself. Oh, good Lord. Okay, well, I don't know what to say. I wrote a song, big deal. You know what I mean? It became that. If I had done it in my 20s, I would have been terrified. Because, you know, I, like anyone else, I'm afraid of being judged harshly on something that I'm not that great at. You know, it's easy for me to sing. Songwriting does not come naturally to me.
You mentioned earlier about coming up in the industry as a woman. Now it seems that at least on mainstream radio, we hear more and more female artists getting airplay. And it seems that more and more female artists are making records and maybe aren't, you know, on that sort of mainstream format of radio. Has it become any easier to be a woman in this industry today versus when you started?
I mean, it's easier in the fact that we see more diversity in the women that are, you know, allowed to become successful by the public,
mm-hmm.
whether that's in terms of our background, the way we look, the message we deliver, the music we deliver. There's a lot more out there, mm-hmm. and that's really good. And, you know, I certainly do not have a mainstream look. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I might have more when I was young, but I do not now. And, you know, so it's nice that I'm not judged on that. It's funny, in the early 2000s, when we were, like, really in the age of, like, Britney Spears and all of that, I was heavily judged on my look. And now I no longer am. And I don't know whether that's because the world has changed or whether I've proved myself as a musician or what. But unfortunately, it has become difficult for anyone in this business now.
Mm-hmm.
The business is falling apart, man. We all know it. It's all over the news. The record companies, everybody arguing about, you know, the use of the internet with music distribution. It's crazy, and the economies everywhere all over the world are taking such dives that people aren't buying tickets, aren't buying records. So it's hard for everyone in that respect. You can break online to the YouTube generation, but then, you know, what's your publishing deal going to be like? And if everyone's buying your music online or listening to it online without paying for it, how are you ever going to make money? You know, it's all this kind of stuff. But it is nice to see more diversity among women. Although, unfortunately, you know, we're still seeing situations like Miley Cyrus becoming, you know, a huge, massive, overnight juggernaut all over again just for acting in a way that would make, I'm sure, any mother shiver.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the whole thing is just, it's all over the place.
Right.
It's absolutely all over the place for everyone. And we're all just kind of hanging on. And, you know, I'm just very glad to be a grown woman in this business now. I'm very glad to be grown. And to have earned some respect.
Absolutely. I have a lot of artists that come on the program, and it's interesting when they come on and they're talking about a new project. Usually when we press stop and we're chatting a little bit afterwards, they say something to the effect of, well, I've got all these other songs. Wait till you hear the next record. Is it like that for you, where you are already thinking of the next record while you're doing the publicity and rolling out this new record? Or is it something that it's one project at a time for you?
It used to be more, I was thinking about everything all at once, and now it's a little more one at a time because I'm also parenting
right.
and homeschooling.
Oh, wow.
So You know, of course, I definitely have an idea of what I'd like my next album to be. I don't know yet if it'll end up being that. When it comes around to record time, we'll see. Because I'm with a major label. I'm with Universal. Mm-hmm. I don't self-produce. So that means I'm not the only one making decisions. So we'll see when record time comes. But I do have an idea of what I'd like to do. But I don't want to say because... What if it doesn't happen, you know,
right,
then I'll have 100 people coming up to me at night saying, well, where's that thing? When did you do that? Oh, I didn't because, you know, for whatever reason. But yeah, now it's slowed down a little bit because my son is little.
Yep.
And I'll pick up the pace again when he's older. I mean, the most important thing I'm ever going to do is raise him. That's more important than any record I'll ever make. So if I take a little more time between records, move a little more slowly so I can still make a record of high quality and raise a son of high quality, mm-hmm. then that's good. Then I'm doing a good job, you know?
Yeah, and I think your strategy is totally spot on. We've been speaking with Jane Monheit. She'll be at the Avalon Theater in Easton, Maryland on Saturday, October 12th. You can get tickets at avalontheater.com, or you can find a link at our website, wamucoast.org. We'll take you out here with the lead track off of Jane's new record, The Heart of the Matter. This is called Until It's Time for You to Go. Jane, thanks so much for joining me, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
You're not a dream. You're not an angel. You're a man. I'm not a queen. I'm a woman. Take my hand. We'll make a space in the life that we plan. And here we'll stay until it's time for you to go. Yes, we're different worlds apart. We're not the same. We laughed and played at the start like in a game. You could have stayed outside my heart.
Coming up next, we've been following Oxford, Maryland residents Richard and Jessica Johnson and their two daughters, Emma and Molly, on their around-the-world sailing expedition for about a year now in our monthly series called The Elsie Diaries. Well, the Johnsons are back in Maryland, and we'll sit down with them to talk about their trip and look back on some of the highlights of their epic journey. And remember, if you have a story idea for us, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at coastal@wamu.org, or you can just find us on Facebook. I'm Brian Russo, and you're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City and 88.5 in Washington. We'll be right back.